Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. Our guest today is the author of I Led the Parade, Main Street Memories. Now, this book is a collection of heartwarming, emotional slices of life about just some of the 7,000 families, that's amazing, that he selected as the parade Grand Marshal Coordinator for the daily parades at the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. Now, he's a retired Disney cast member, and now he's an author. And we'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Dean Gashler. How are you doing this evening, Dean?
Doing great, John. Thank you. How are you this evening?
I am awesome. It's such a pleasure for Tony and myself to be speaking with you and just being able to hear these stories. Just, you know, right off the bat, I just want to say, as a guest and someone who appreciates cast members, thank you for everything and all the magic that you brought to all of our lives.
Wow, thank you very much. Those are very kind words. Thank you.
So, Dean, we'd like to ask, all of our Disney guests that are on, how your journey at Disney began. Everybody winds up doing something that they love at the end, but they usually start doing something maybe they weren't so much in love with to start. So how did your journey at Disney start?
Well, my wife and I moved down here from Colorado in 1990. And in early 1991, we both walked into the casting center unannounced on a Monday, introduced ourselves, and we were both hired on the spot. Unlike what you just said, a lot of people sometimes don't have the ideal job, but at that time there were about 38,000 cast members, and there was only one job that I wanted. I wanted to work in the Harmony Barbershop, the barbershop on Main Street, turn of the century theming, and I had been a barber for, at that time, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25 years. Like I said, my wife and I were hired on the spot, but the company wanted me to work in one of the styling shops at one of the resorts.
Oh.
And I gratefully declined and told them that no, I really wanted to work at the Harmony Barbershop. About 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a phone call from the company saying that one of the barbers had to take a medical retirement and that there was an opening.
Wow.
So be careful what you wish for, because like I said, of 38,000 cast members, I wanted one job and got it. And then a little later on, I'll tell you how history repeated itself. So that was my journey. And I had a great time at the barbershop, was there for 7 years. The gentleman who was the Grand Marshal Coordinator at the time was one of my customers, a customer of the barbershop. He came in with some sort of bad news that he was going to have to take a retirement. Unfortunately, he was suffering from lung cancer. And he had told me that he would give the company his 2-week notice. And the management team had asked for a short list of people that thought would do a good job as the Grand Marshal Coordinator. My name was on that list, went through the interview process, and all of the time that I cut his hair, those 7 years, I kept joking with him that he had the only job in the Magic Kingdom I would leave the barbershop for.
Wow.
And so be careful what you wish for the sequel. So I went through, like I said, the interview process. Well, it was determined that I would make a good Grand Marshal Coordinator. I did so for 14 years at a total of 21 years in my career at Disney. Like John mentioned earlier, I had selected somewhere in the neighborhood of around 7,000 families as my Grand Marshals in that 14 years.
Wow. That's fascinating. I don't think a lot of people know really about the Harmony Barbershop. You know, it sits in that corner, and I think people just, you know, make that beeline down Main Street and probably go right past, you know, one of the best places to, you know, it's quintessential Main Street.
Right, right, yeah. It had been there. Actually, it was located just in Center Street, just beyond the Emporium. Mm-hmm. The 7 years I was there, it has since moved between the end of the Emporium next to the car barn in Town Square. As you would come in under the train station, kind of look to your left, and there next to the car barn, between the car barn and the Emporium is where it's located now. But it is surprisingly busy. People say, you know, is that a real barbershop? Do people really get haircuts there?
Yeah.
We literally had a line out the door most days. It's an amazing little place. Yeah. Had a ball there.
Yeah. So what's the best time of day to get your haircut? Because I know you guys open, like, I think around park open, and then you close fairly early in the day. You're not open, you know, to park close like people think.
Yeah, to be totally honest with you, since I left the barbershop, let's see, I've been retired almost 4 years now and 14. So that's been close to 18 years. There's been a lot of change there.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a way you can arrange a time to set up your, I don't know if the correct word would be appointment,
right.
But you can, I think you can reserve a time. I'm really not 100% sure on that, but I do know they added a third chair. There were only two chairs there the entire time I was there, so they have three barbers on duty most days. It's my understanding. Again, that's a difficult question to answer because we were busy. I would say typically mornings would be a little less busy than afternoons, but again.
Yeah.
Having been gone from that location for so long, I hope that information is accurate.
Yeah, we'll verify it and follow up. And you know, the other thing that, you know, is crazy is this is the prequel to the Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Yep.
I mean,
I believe so.
I mean, that's where if you wanted pixie dust in your hair, that's where you went to have the pixie dust put in your hair.
Mm-hmm. Again, I had talked to management a lot about trying to do something like that, and they held on to the theming of the pretty much the barbershop theming for the longest time, and they weren't very open to suggestion, do a lot of change then, but again, that's been a long time now, and it has changed, and. It's my understanding that it is still a very, very busy location. When I was there at the barbershop, it was the hangout for the Dapper Dans, the barbershop quartet.
Right.
And a lot of people barbershop singers from all over the world came to see those guys. And so that was really an interesting sort of byproduct, or maybe the barbering was a byproduct of the Dapper Dans. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
right.
But they were very amazing and got a good insight into the entertainment part of Disney as well.
So when you stepped out of the barbershop and you started working with the parade, what was your official title? Was it Grand Marshal? Parade coordinator?
Grand Marshal coordinator. Mm-hmm.
And your response?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I meant to just add that I was part of, I was under the umbrella of guest relations. I was a guest relations cast member.
And were you the only one, or were there a couple of you?
It started out just about three of us. Because in the event of days off, vacations, in the event of sickness, things like that, we had to have backup. And when I left, I think there were about five of us.
Wow.
And quite frankly, myself and four others, I was the full-time guy, and the guys and gals that were my backup would practically arm wrestle to get to see who got to be the Grand Marshal schedule for the Grand Marshal coordinator on my days off and vacation days as such.
Wow. So when you when you're out there, how what was the process? How did you look for families for the parade?
That's the question right there. I really felt it was my job and my duty to find really the happiest people in the park. That was kind of what I looked for each day. I would spot people who were usually, just having the time of their life. You could see a lot of them kind of wore it like a billboard. You know, they would be a family of six people or eight people celebrating grandma's 100th birthday, you know, or something like that, and all dressed in red shirts with mouse ears and all that sort of thing, or family reunions. Newlyweds were just about a shoe-in for Grand Marshals, because that was the crowd really, really loves the newlyweds. We would have a lot of celebration. We had a lot of veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, things like that. And again, that kind of fell under the umbrella of a family reunion. And sometimes we were celebrating visits, the last visits to the Magic Kingdom, too. We did a lot of work with Give Kids the World and Make-A-Wish Foundation. But my on a typical day, if a family was coming down the street, and of course it probably didn't hurt if they had a Vacation Club t-shirt, a Disney Vacation Club t-shirt on, or a Disney Cruise Line ball cap or something like that. But they would have a love of Disney, which was a big, big help. I would just strike up conversation. I was dressed typically just in sort of street clothes and like a greeter type thing. And hi folks, can I help you with anything today? Men's room this way, ATM this way. And yes, the castle is right behind me here. and I would typically ask an opening question and see what sort of response I would get. Hi folks, how are you today? Where are you from? If they'd say, Texas. Is this your first visit to the Magic Kingdom? Third. If I would get short one word responses, typically those weren't your most outgoing people. I would get something, hi folks, is this your first visit to the Magic Kingdom? No, it's our 14th. And this time we're staying at Grand Floridian. And then on and on and on. And we're taking a boat ride and we're going to watch the fireworks. And you ask them, have you ever heard the old expression, you ask them what time it was and they tell you how to build a watch. about get their life history. And they were so outgoing and so excited to be at Disney. Those were typically very, very good candidates for Grand Marshal. But what I had to find out was, number one, how large the party was, because we did have limited seating in the vehicles that we used. Some families would have 35 people at a family reunion. Obviously, I couldn't seat that many. But and then, of course, I had to find out if they were going to be available. What are your plans for the day? Oh, chefs, we're just in here for breakfast, and our flight home is at 1:30. We have to eat breakfast and say goodbye to Mickey and then head for the airport. Doggone. Well, have a nice day and come back and see us again soon. But you'd find a great family that was not going to be here. Was not going to be in the Magic Kingdom at 3 o'clock for the parades. So obviously, that didn't work. But those are kind of the things that I would look for.
Yeah. So are you doing the picking in the morning, like around rope drop time?
I didn't really have a schedule as such. People would ask me when I would pick them. Well, I mean, I obviously had to. I tried each day to have them picked by about 1:30 or 1:45 each day for sure, because I had to get, we would announce who they were from, and it was part of the pre-parade, and I had to give entertainment time to take the announcement so we could announce it along the parade route. But people would ask me, I would say it can happen at any time of the day, obviously before parade time, but any in any location in the park. So it really could. Sometimes you'd really be, I would really be looking at my watch and seeing, oh my gosh, you know, getting close to the deadline time here. And one day I walked out of City Hall, I used to usually come from a different backstage location each time, but I came out of City Hall. There was a family lined up on the steps of City Hall taking a family photo. It was mom and dad, two of their children and their spouses and grandkids. Perfect family, and struck up conversation. They were just perfect. 9:05, I had my grand marshal selected that day.
Wow.
So it could happen at any time. But there really wasn't a pattern that I really tried to stick to. I would try to go to different. I'd go to Adventureland one day, go to Tomorrowland another day, just to make things a little different.
Yeah, I don't want you necessarily to give away all the magic, but let's just, if you could walk someone through kind of the basic process. So if I and my family were selected as Grand Marshal for the day, what would happen, you know, once you make the selection, once you make the decision, what happens to us?
Okay, let's say that you were coming out of the bake shop after with a roll of coffee or something like that, and I approached you and your wife and your beautiful two children, Tammy and Tommy, after I would make them, and a lot of people would say, what's a grand marshal? What's going to happen? And I would say, well, I have special orders from Mickey today to find the happiest people in the Magic Kingdom. And today, folks, that's you. And again, you know, finding that you're available and that sort of thing. We're going to meet, and I would give you the meeting location and the meeting time. And your job today is to be the happiest people in the Magic Kingdom. And I would a lot of times direct the instructions toward the kids, because anything I'd tell the kids, the folks were leaning in toward me, listening, you know, and I would say,
right.
You're going to have hundreds and hundreds of people taking your picture today. People from all over the country are going to be taking your picture, and you have to smile and wave. Even if your arm gets tired, you've got to smile and wave. And I would just try to build up anticipation, because it's just going to be yourselves and maybe one other couple. Might be our grand marshals. So 40 or 50,000 people today, there's going to be 6 or 8 of you being the grand marshals of the parade. Really make them, you know, try to build up their anticipation and make it really, really. And I would take their names, because I said, I'm going to get mouse ear hats for you with your names on the back and all sorts of things. Just try to build their anticipation that, man, they just couldn't wait for 2:30 to get there.
You know, in your book, Dean, I Led the Parade, Mainstream Memories, you have about 50 different memories in here. Do you want to share maybe one or two or even three or, you know, whatever you feel?
Yeah.
You know, some of the memories, because, you know, I met you at the Disney Animating, and you know, the book is fantastic, but you're also a great storyteller. And rather than me talking about these stories, I think they're your stories and they should come from you. So tell somebody maybe one or two of your favorite stories.
Okay, I'm gonna tell the toughest one first. I do tell people that the stories on my book, some will make you laugh and some will make you shed a tear. This is one of them that might have you reaching for a Kleenex. I was on Main Street one day when an attractions manager from Fantasyland, who I knew very well, came down to Main Street and to say hello to me and said, by the way, Dean, have you selected your grand marshals yet today? And I said, no, I have not. I said, well, I know we don't do things this way, but I have a family I befriended. And for some reason, the date sticks in my mind. It was November 13th. And the lady shared with me, the attractions manager shared with me, that this family had a wish. their only wish was that they would get one more Christmas with their son, and his name was Dominic. And again, November 13th to December 25th isn't a lot of time. And I said to her, I said, you're absolutely right. We do not do things this way. Where are they? And we went, she said, well, they're coming off my one of my attractions in a few minutes. Went up to Fantasyland, met the family. And, you know, Tony, to be quite honest with you, if that little boy would have walked by you, if Dominic would have walked by you that day, you'd have never known. You would have really have never known.
Yeah.
I went to the family, and, of course, just like I talked about, of all the people here in the Magic Kingdom, you're going to be leading the parade and everything, and the kids were so excited. His condition was never mentioned. We never mentioned it. And I met them at the step-off area later that afternoon, and the kids were so excited, and there was a tug on the side, like at my pants. And I looked down, and it was Dominic looking up at me, and these big, beautiful brown eyes, I'll never forget them. And he looks up at me, and he says, Mr. Dean, do you know that pretty soon I'm going to be an angel? And I go, oh, my gracious. So anyway, my wife even said to me after that, how did you continue to go about business after that? And I said, I honestly don't know how I continued, but was able to without losing it. After the pre-parade and the grand marshal, the kids were getting a little tired. So I told the parents I was going to go get a stroller for the kids. And the father insisted on walking with me to go get the stroller. And he told me what a great job I did and everything. And I said, sir, I said, I don't get an opportunity often to have one-on-one conversations with parents like this in this situation. But I said, I feel about 2 inches tall right now, and you're a hero. You're the hero here, not me. And he said, I just want you to tell someone to all of these cast members. Said, I want you to tell each and every one of them that you're miracle workers. Because like 14 months ago when we got the news about Dominic, he said, my wife stopped smiling. And he said, she's a very pretty lady. And one of the things that makes her so pretty is that smile of hers. And when we got this news, she stopped smiling. I haven't seen her smile since we've been down here at Disney. So thank you all for putting a smile on my wife's face again. So that's one of the ones I'll never forget ever, ever, ever. So, another story that is very near and dear to me. One day I'm in Adventureland, and this family is just having a blast, just having a great time. And he's, hey folks, how you doing today? How's everything? What are we celebrating? That was again one of my opening lines, so to speak. Hey, what are we celebrating today? And this young man walks up to me and he says, my dad told me that if I won a gold medal at the Special Olympics, that I got to go to Disney World. And I go, you won a gold medal at the Special Olympics? And he said, no, I won 2 gold medals at the Special Olympics. And I, oh, my gracious. So I got all the family's information. They were traveling with another family and selected both families to be the grand marshals. And we were getting ready to step off backstage. The young man's name was Gary. And Gary said to me, he said, Mr. Dean, said, my mom has my 2 gold medals in her purse. May I wear them during the parade? And I said, Gary, I insist that you wear your gold medals along the parade route today. And we go through the entire process, and he's just so excited. We again, at the end of the parade route, at the step down, he says to me, Mr. Dean, he says, do you like surprises? And I go, sure, I like surprises. Who doesn't like surprises? He said, I have a surprise for you. And he took one of his medals, took it off his neck, put it over my head and around my neck and gave me one of his gold medals. And I was just, he had really caught me off guard. He just had really, really surprised me. I walked away with a lump in my throat, and I walked over to his dad, and I said, my gracious, your son has given me one of his gold medals. I don't feel it's appropriate that I keep it. He said, my son knows what he's doing. He said, he loves you. He wants you to know that you're special to him. And like I said, he knows what he's doing. You keep that medal, Dean. And I kept it. And we took a picture together. Had his dad take a picture of us with our gold medals. And I had that picture on my desk for years. Just an inspiration. You think of the blood, sweat, and tears that young man went through to win two gold medals even at the Special Olympics. And wow, just amazing. So, and without going into another lengthy story or anything, one of the things too that, and I have several stories in the book. One of the things I also did was select the veteran of the day for the flag retreat ceremony at the end of the day. That is, it takes place at 5 o'clock in Town Square, by the flagpole, and a veteran assists the security team, and those folks, the military folks, you know, were always something really, really special. But when some of these folks were, in my eyes, they were heroes, and they were the most humble people. Some of the most humble people that I'd ever met, you know, were these veterans who had said, it's my job. I'm just doing my job. Some very hope that a couple of stories there that kind of highlights in my book.
Yeah, that's amazing. Those are great stories. And I was wondering about the flag ceremony. That is, if for anybody listening, if you have not taken time out of your busy schedule and a vacation to sit and watch that and honor the veterans, especially the honorary veteran of the day, and watch that whole process, it's amazing. And I'm so grateful that Walt Disney World still does that.
That program was started by Walt Disney himself in Disneyland. And it's still going on today.
Yeah. And the veteran takes the flag home, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
He walks off stage, but okay. I don't think he takes it home each day. But yeah. I know there have been instances where the flag has been given. And again, that is something I would just select a veteran each day. And that was actually sometimes very difficult, because these folks say, I had a desk job, or I did this, or I did this. I was a chaplain. You know, I mean, you got to get somebody who is in, you know, the line of fire, you know. And I, no. I said, there's a thousand parts of a car that make a car go down the road. And right. It takes every one of them. And again, very, very humbling, very, very humbling to meet these amazing folks.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned that you worked with some of the children's charities and foundations. So are sometimes maybe they're pre-selected, you know, hey, we have, you know, Dean, this kid or this family coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. We would work very closely. That was something that we rarely pre-selected Grand Marshals. That was one of the things the management team was very adamant about. Of course, like, for instance, you know, the day after the Super Bowl, if the winning quarterback was going to say, hey, I'm heading to Disney World, obviously we would do that, would be the Grand Marshal that day. But for the most part, it was an unsuspecting guest getting an amazing, magical moment. But again, getting back to the kids, the Make-A-Wish families, the kids. And sometimes we celebrated, that they had defeated the disease, but, we would, and again, these families, would be so, you just literally handed them the world. It was quite frankly, you can't get any better than to give a child his dying wish. You know, and a lot of times it was, there would be meet and greets backstage and things like that. But, and, we would have, actually, I even had booked a few that were unable to make the trip, that they couldn't travel from wherever their home was to get here for that. But, oh my gosh, it was just so humbling. And the folks, you know, and lots of times, like I said, these children would walk right by you. A lot of times, yes, they were in wheelchairs and on oxygen and all of this other stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, these kids would walk right by you. But, and it was very, very, very humbling experience I remember one lady told me that she had to wake her daughter at 3 a.m. for medication. She had to have this she had to wake up her child every morning at 3 a.m. to give her medication. She had to have the medication every 8 hours period or something that.
Yeah, you've made an impact on so many people, Dean. Have you kept up with any of the families?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. In the book, probably half or better that we, particularly when they come down to Disney and for a visit, I'll try to hook up just to say hello, see how big the kids have gotten, maybe have a meal with them, or sometimes just meet them, just even for a brief hello, either at the park or at their resort. It's been some amazing friendships too. Some very amazing friendships.
Yeah,
ongoing.
Yeah, I had a brief run-in with being a Grand Marshal. I was supposed to meet four friends of mine in the park. Like, hey, come to meet us in the park, blah blah blah. And then they text me like, hey, we were selected as Grand Marshals for parade. I'm like, oh, I don't think I can make it now. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So they were Grand Marshals in the parade, and I think they said that you give them Mickey ears, but their names on them as well.
Correct. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, I every one of the stories is a tearjerker or anything like that, but you just reminded me that this didn't happen to me. It happened to a gentleman that my days off were Sunday, Monday for all of that time.
Right.
And one Tuesday morning, I came back, and the gentleman that had selected the Grand Marshals the day before had told me something really crazy had happened to him. And he told me that he had picked a family at, say, let's just say 10 o'clock in the morning on Main Street. And about an hour and a half later, he picked his second family for Grand Marshal. He had actually picked that family's brother and his family.
Wow!
They were traveling together. They had come to Walt Disney World together, but had gone different directions in the Magic Kingdom. And he said he was over, I think he said, by the Jungle Cruise, and it selected the other family. And he said, turns out that it selected two families traveling together.
Wow.
I'd had several families that I'd selected that became friends and maintained their friendship of being selected to be Grand Marshals. That happened to me several times.
Yeah.
They would kept in contact. But, it's an amazing thing. I always said just stand back and let the magic happen for crying out loud.
Did anybody, after you tell them, you know, they've been selected and yeah, blah, blah, they ever go, yeah, I don't think so, Dean. I don't think I want to do that today.
Yeah, you know, in my entire 14 years, I believe it happened to me three times.
Okay.
Three, maybe four. I think I could count it on one hand.
Yeah.
In 14 years, the times that I actually got turned down. And no. And you know, I always had the feeling in my gut, so to speak, with that if a family declined me for Grand Marshal, that I had asked the wrong family, and that I, you know, that they, it was for whatever reason. I think typically it was probably a stage fright more than anything. People not wanting to be, you know, in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or the witness protection program. one of the two reasons.
That's a good one. Oh my! I wish I'd have had that line. I could have used that.
Yeah. Well, feel free.
Yeah.
But I had one of my leaders one time tell me that, Dean, your job is to go out into the Magic Kingdom and get folks so excited about being the Grand Marshals that they jump out of their socks. And that was my goal each and every day, to get people to jump out of their socks.
So, Dean, you've got this great book. Could you tell us how the whole book came about? Well, you just decided to write and tell your stories. How did you decide to create the book?
My heart of hearts, I have five grandchildren in Colorado, and I said, you know, since time and distance aren't the things that are in our favor, they do come down here, but our visits are usually, you know, annually or ever, sometimes even every other year and such, because they're busy raising families and things like that. I wanted my grandkids to know who their granddads were, who their granddad was. But it just came about with one of you mentioned earlier about being a good storyteller, and I guess I'd never thought that much about good storytelling. And kind of at the end of the day, wasn't that gentleman, what was his name again? Walt Disney, I believe. Well, didn't he start out pretty much as a storyteller? He told, and I thought, you know, and everybody, friends and family, just kept saying, you know, Dean, you should get these stories down. You should get these. These are great stories. People should hear them. One of my head cheerleaders, so to speak, a gentleman by the name of Lee Cockrell. I suppose you two have heard of him.
Yep.
Lee, I had occasion to work with Lee in the Grand Marshal capacity and the veterans capacity. After he retired. And then when I retired, we had opportunities. We would meet once a month or so for coffee. He keeps saying, "You've got to get that book, Dean. You've got to get that book out." He was really. I said, "You think? You really think?" "Yes, you got to get that book written, Dean. You really." He was very, very instrumental in motivating me. I started putting the stories down and trying to put the stories down in the book, kind of like I tell them, you know, kind of as they happen. And in several of the chapters, I get reply, you know, via emails and that sort of thing. And I actually use the exact words of the guest. People would say to me at the end of the day, how can I thank you? And I'd say, you know, here's a mailing address. But I said, if you can, tell me what it felt like to be the Grand Marshal. And that's kind of the stories that I went for, what it felt like to these people to be the Grand Marshal. Like I said, a lot of people were behind it, and a lot of people were encouraged. My wife was very very supportive of the time it took to do it, and there it is. I looked at myself, and I thought over the years that I had been called many things. That an author probably wouldn't be one, and it has nothing to do with the witness protection plan either. Okay, that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, it's a great book. It really is. You know, like I said, there's 50. You call them memories or the chapters, and each one is, you know, about a different story, and you know, there's also some pictures in it. Of different events and things in your life, which helps. And you can kind of see the different iterations of the Grand Marshal vehicle as well. You know, from stagecoach to fire truck to, you know, its current iteration. So it's a very interesting book. So tell everybody, Dean, where they can get the book, because they have to now go out and read it.
Okay, great. if you would like me to autograph and or personalize your book, you can go to my website, which is deangashler.com, and Main Street Memories. And there's some information there, and there's a picture on the front of my website, and I'm waving at the crowd, and next to my right hand, it's instructions on how to order the book. It says, order here, right by my right hand. And like I said, I'm happy to personalize and or autograph the books if folks want to order them for me. And they sell for $19.95, and hopefully people would be as excited as you are about it. I hope so.
Yep. And we'll link up to it in the show notes, so if you don't remember the name off the top of your head, and the website, we'll link up to it so we can make sure that people get to your website. So we really...
Much appreciated.
Yeah, we want to thank you, you know, for coming on and sharing your stories and your time. And you really probably had, I would say, two of the best jobs in the Magic Kingdom, at least. Right?
I think so. I think so.
I don't think they get better.
I tell you, I had an amazing career, and even one of my leaders said, you know, you're so unusual that your entire career was in the Magic Kingdom, pretty much on Main Street,
right.
And in 21 years, you only had two jobs.
Yeah.
And people move around a lot at Disney World. They move from resorts to, Cruise Line. We've got ESPN Sports, resorts, theme parks, water parks. You know, all sorts of things. You know that you can do. But to only have two jobs, pretty unusual.
Yeah, I agree. All right, go out and get the book. It's called "I Led the Parade: Main Street Memories" by Dean Gashler, and we'll see you all in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.